Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like Steven, we sell scented sweatshirts. And the Shopify customer service team helped us so much. And I would say we had questions at 3, 4 a.m. They were there.
For sure. And I think it's why they help turn browsers into buyers.
Totally.
So if you want to manufacture true crime leggings in Guatemala and sell them in Indonesia, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bookclub, all lowercase, today.
That's shopify.com/bookclub. shopify.com/bookclub.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.com.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
That knocking at the door, it's all your friends, you filthy whore. Your husband's gone and we've got books and a bottle of wine to kill.
It's Hollywood,
it's books,
it's gossip.
I'm shook,
it's memoirs,
it's martinis,
it's Studio 54,
it's Celebrity Book Club. Come read it while it's hot. Celebrity Book Club. Tell your secrets, we won't talk. Celebrity Book Club. No boys are allowed. Celebrity Book Club. Club.
Buzz me in, I brought the Cuervo.
Hey, best friend. How are you doing out there?
Oh, doing okay, keeping warm.
I know, it's so hard.
In this like 1-inch blizzard.
So yeah, we're recording this on a day when it snowed at 2 to 3 whole inches in New York City. And I woke to a flurry of emails of everyone just being like, ooh, I don't think we can make it into the studio today to record. It's crazy out there. It's just like the sidewalk is wet. It's a little wet.
Here's the thing, though. When I awoke, not to brag, at 8 a.m., it was being like fully you couldn't see outside. And it was so like storm. And then I feel like by the time you woke, it was being a little more like clearer boots and like wet.
Listen, I had a rough night because I was up late reading the book for our podcast. And it was such a stressful, traumatizing book.
Yes.
That I had to take something I very, very rarely do.
An Ambien?
No, it's called hydroxyzine. It's just an antihistamine. Oh. But it does kind of put you to sleep eventually.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I'm processing the fact that I had to do that. But then you kind of are conked out till noon and you're just like, so like Sonia Morgan and like
right,
the next
you're waking
mom.
Up
and you're just being like, what? Oh, where are my dogs? Where's my will?
Then, being like, do the kids go to school?
Yeah, and you're fumbling for your reading glasses for like another 45 minutes.
Wait, I just want to make us, if you don't mind, like, bigger.
Oh, yeah. Because it's very, like, Darby and Naboo's icons are still really big.
Yeah, I just...
You can pin me.
Yeah, I made you bigger.
Or you can just hide non-participating.
Yeah, hover yeah. and click the 3 dots and select hide non-video participants.
Okay, I did that. So I did hide you
guys.
You
can please keep all this in. I want to show people how the sausage is made, by the way.
But just... respect to our non-video participants yes. and all that you do. Okay, jumping
back before we get into the book, I made a bid today on a t-shirt with a photo of George Bush and Dick Cheney, and it said Meet the Fuckers in Meet the Fockers font.
As if the Meet the Fockers font is like an iconic font
I know.
That anyone would
like
be able
like
to
Supreme
identify.
Or something.
In the classic Meet the Fockers logo.
The shirt was for 30. I came in with a bid at 20. That was rejected. So now we're just taking a beat.
Yeah. No, you don't want to look desperate for the Meet the Fuckers
no.
tee.
Yeah.
Is that something that you would feel comfortable wearing in a more formal environment? Say like a sit-down restaurant on Long Island or Easter?
Well, that's the thing, because I'm trying to dress more mature. But I also want to keep that like punk activist flair. That people know me for, that kind of 2003 fuck Bush activist flair.
So you would pair it with like a crisp white button down, white pleated
Gucci
slacks,
blazer.
Gucci blazer, like worn like with arms out in kind of a Jenna Lyons way.
Yeah, and like huge black glasses.
I think it'd be super funky for you.
Right, like little bag.
Tiny bag. Middle-aged lesbian.
Wait, have you, not to pry, but have you been invited to any other fashion shows besides the fashion show we went to last week at Caslada?
No, but I keep getting emails for something called like Aging with Dignity in New York Fashion Week or something. It's like better with age. It's really, it is actual full psychological warfare. And it's so rude. And I'm just like, this is so awful.
Sad.
I've been invited to one fashion show and then I keep getting invited to a seminar called like, Age Gracefully, you dead bitch.
Aging Gracefully.
Oh, no, it's called the Better With Age New York Fashion Week Workshop and Collection.
So there's an aging collection that'll be shown.
But it's also like teaching you tips for how to like, you know, I don't know, keep your mind sharp. It's like doing Sudoku while you're...
Brain games.
Looking at sweaters.
Well, speaking of keeping our brain sharp... We read something this week that certainly sharpened a few things.
I actually feel like maybe you learned a little bit, and I'm excited to kind of dive into that. Because it
yeah.
is about a historical era that I'm not even sure if you were ever taught in your, like, funky dory high school.
Oh, okay, well, all right, let's just get into it, then we'll get into the accusations.
Okay, so we read a book by, I'm putting by in quotes.
By in big old quotes.
We totally broke form and did, actually a genre we've never done before.
No, I know, it's kind of like literally know the rules to break the rules. We've done children's books that are fictional or tall fables.
Right.
But we did a straight up novel.
Say it with me, honey, a novel.
A novel, you know what I mean? Fiction.
Fiction, that thing y'all see at the airport, okay? And they're always called All the Missing Girls, okay? That's what we're talking about. And this book, honestly, all could also be called All the Missing Girls.
It's a very All the Missing Girls. Or like The Girl Who Left.
The girl who went missing, the girl who died, the girl who knew another girl who went missing.
The girls left at the train station.
It's literally about like a terrible accident that happens in a train station and all the girls are like so frail. It is a novel by, you know her from Stranger Things and frankly, nothing else.
Though, except for she's in some new dragon.
I saw
Netflix
that on her
show.
Instagram being like, you mess with the wrong damsel.
Yeah.
Which is very her. She's very into being a princess being saved. She's ultimately very trad. We'll get into it. Of course, we're talking about teen sensation.
Millie.
Bobby.
Brown.
And her
book.
Novel.
Again, her in quotes. By in quotes, novel.
19 Steps. Which is a World War II era novel.
Taking place in London, reimagining her grandmother's time.
Yeah, so this was a story that was told to her by a grandmother. And it's historical fiction, so it is inspired by a real event, a real tragedy that happened in London. For those of you who don't know, London was the site of many bombing raids by the Germans in World War II, which engulfed the globe in conflict from 1939 to 1945. If you were alive then, honey, it was all anyone was talking about.
If you know, you know World War II. 19 Steps is a deeply affecting, mesmerizing page turn inspired by the author's family history, an epic story of love, loss, and secrets. This is the description in the book. Millie Bobby Brown's propulsive. I'm learning that word for the first time. Debut introduces an unforgettable, brave young woman and bully portrays the strength into the power of love. Propulsive. Word a day.
I've said that word to you so many times, Lily.
Sure you have, and I've just, in my mind, I've just been like,
shut the fuck up, faggot. I'm always using that word when we're doing music criticism. I feel like I talk about beats as being propulsive a lot.
Oh, when you go Ableton mode.
Yeah. Ableton mode activated. So the real life event this was inspired by, there was a terrible tragedy one night in the Bethnal Green tube station, where a bunch
of,
which is where people would hide when there were bombing raids. And that's basically when, like, German planes fly over and bomb London. And so everyone, like, goes and hides in the subways. And it was a time of, like, banding together. It was a time of great community. It was a time of suffering and hoisting yourself by your bootstraps, but also kind of tightening the purse strings in many ways.
Definitely. No, I mean, Nelly is the protagonist, and Nelly is
similar name to both Millie and Bobby, if you will. So she's into dual syllable ending with an E sound.
And like, Nelly is so British, like, well, Nelly like Bobby, fancy a cup of tea.
And Billy are all very like, they're kind of like tomboyish names. And like, she's very much like tomboyish in that way where it's like, she's a rascally, scrappy young girl who's still like beautiful and thin and feminine and fragile and just like ultimately will be a damsel in distress, but will be sassy to a man.
Yeah. It's very like the type of girl who would get like one cut on her knee and they would be like, oh, Nelly, you're such
you're
a tomboy.
Crazy. You're such a tomboy. What are we going to do with you? You're always coming home with scrapes and bruises.
Girls who get scrapes.
This is for the girls who get scrapes.
You get scrapes.
This,
okay.
That's so torture pose department. Like, yes. This is for eldest daughters. This is for girls who get scrapes.
For all the daughters who got scrapes. I only really knew Millie Bobby Brown as being in Stranger Things, a show I never watched, and Drake sliding into her DMs when she was underage.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And like, yeah, that whole drama.
I only knew her from like completely like fabricated memes of people being like, she said faggot once or something. It just one of those things where meme culture like creates several layers of memification on top of itself and nothing means anything anymore. And I was kind of like,
yeah,
people just like to say Millie Bobby Brown because it's kind of has a fun cadence to it.
She became more popular because her name is just Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, it sounds like other famous people we've heard of. Millie Vanilli, Bobby Brown.
Bobby Brown, the makeup empire folks.
I was going to say Bobby Brown, Whitney Houston's ex-husband, but also the makeup
also
empire.
That Bobby Brown. Wait, is the Bobby Brown makeup empire, like, is that a gay guy or a woman? I literally don't know.
I'm going to go with woman because it's BBI.
Right.
And the male is Bobby is usually with a Y.
Our producer is chiming in saying woman exclamation point. Okay. Case solved. Gay guys, like, step your pussy up. Okay. It's time for a gay guy to launch a makeup empire for once. Just to close the loop on the context, which is that the tragedy was that a bunch of people were trying to get into the tube during one bombing raid. And there was a crowd crush, similar to what you might remember the tragedy that happened in Seoul, South Korea last year, where a bunch of people trying to get into a small space, and then they all just kind of crush each other, and they all die of asphyxiation, which is super sad, and that literally did happen. And I guess Millie Bobby Brown's grandmother, or as she calls it, her nan, or Nanny Ruth, did survive this tragedy. And so this was kind of a family lore story. And then basically Millie Bobby Brown was like, I'm going to turn this family lore into like a really kind of standard historical fiction novel that's like
very airport.
That's very airport. It's like about a girl living in time of war and rations and like a tight-knit family and like a sexy American airman. And then like the local boy who's always loved her, but like she's just not that into him. But like he's so sweet and kind of pathetic and nice guys finish last. And then like, but it's also kind of like a procedural like thriller because it's about like a court case about the tragedy. And the whole time I was reading it, I was just like, this is already a limited series on Netflix. And she clearly was just like wanting to
thinking
cast herself
it would turn into
in
one.
The limited series. But I don't think that the book was popular enough.
No, I feel like this didn't really make waves except for the wave of like coming to our homes and us like seeing it on the shelf being like random. No,
the wave was it arriving at my apartment and me going, what?
Even reading it, I was still just like, Okay, so again, this is quote unquote by Millie Bobby Brown.
Let's just dispense with the fiction that she wrote it, because obviously it was ghostwritten, like most celebrity books are. But this one was like, when it's a novel, it's like, oh, it's really ghostwritten.
Right. And there's also something, I feel like the rules of ghostwriting become different with novel, because I feel like a lot of the memoirs we read, like, will be a, you know, Rob Lowe with someone.
Yeah.
And a novel, like, there's something about a novel that you have to be more just like, this is by me. And everyone's like,
So in the acknowledgments, she lists the ghostwriter right before she thanks her dogs. She goes, she's British. Thank you to the publication team at HarperCollins, who believed in the story and never took no for an answer, especially my editors, Katie and Liz, and to the brilliant Kathleen McGurl for working with me to bring it to life. Thank you to my wonderful dogs, Winnie, Max, Barbie, and Molly, who faithfully stayed by my feet during the restless nights of trying to craft the next chapter. And it's like, so you clearly can tell that Kathleen McGurl wrote it because she worked with her to bring it to life, but gets literally less airtime than the dogs.
And then it's also like the dogs being at her feet on restless nights were more Millie Bobby Brown texting Kathleen McGurl random thoughts.
This quote from Kathleen McGurl. We found this in an article. Sorry, yes, we did outside research. This is on channelnewasia.com. I'm deciding that Kathleen is Australian. I was sent a load of research that had already been pulled together by Millie and her family and plenty of ideas, and we had a couple of Zoom calls. And then I knuckled down and wrote the first draft while Millie continued sending more ideas via WhatsApp.
We've had a couple of Zooms, aka you had, I'm going to say, there was two. It's like Millie in her huge house, like with seven dogs, like drinking a matcha, being like, my nan was so brave. I want to send you photos of my nan. And she's like, so who's your nan's lover? She's like, oh, I should ask my nan.
Yeah.
Let me ask my grandpa. And then Millie Bobby Brown like goes, so like Jenny Schechter, and she's like, goes to her mom's house, and she's like, being so moody, and like takes out a photo album and is just starts like taking like photos of her nan and sending them to Kathleen McGurl.
Yeah, on her like iPhone 25, that's like the largest one you've ever seen. And Kathleen's like, wow, this is great. She's like, what about this? And she just suggests her like entire plot lines. And Millie's just like, I love that. That's so nice. Going out of the country, talk soon, X.
Shooting like Esmeralda, the like Dragon Slayer next. I also kind of feel like, I bet Millie Bobby Brown's like random brother was like, or like an aunt was like sending so much of their own like family research to Millie, being like, ooh, put this in, send this to Kathleen. And Millie was like, yeah, sure. Because I read in some HuffPo article, it was like Millie and her family collected tons of stories.
That's nice that it brought them all together.
Which is like really sweet, you know, that they all came together.
And, you know, lots of the time I think British people are maybe more close-knit. You know, it's just a smaller country. There's less square footage. And it's more like my nan than my gran.
But even though, because it's funny, the stereotype is so British people are so cold.
Well,
but I think they're
maybe
like hanging with each other more.
Yeah, they're more like multi-generational. And they just have like more history. There are more paintings on the wall, like, et cetera. And it's more like Saltburn, even if you're not Saltburn.
Honestly, I feel like that's like all countries besides America, because we're so like, leave the house, like, shut up.
Why not? Because we're like the capitalist dream and whatever. And we're so like independent minded and don't have history. Okay, wait. So first, as we get into this actual book, did you realize that this book literally takes place at the hotel we did a show in London? The entire time she's at the town hall in Bethnal Green.
I guess I was reading that and I was like, I was too starstruck.
So we did a show in London and there was this insane huge like parliament room in this like luxury hotel that had been renovated out of this like previous government building, obviously. And so it was called Town Hall and it was literally in Bethnal Green. And this whole book, Nellie, Millie Bobby Brown's like title character, is the assistant to the mayor of Bethnal Green. And every day she goes to work at the town hall and she's taking notes in longhand about the matters of the day affecting the wartime community in London.
Here she is. Nelly left the town hall in a daze, descending the steps at the entrance as she had so many times before. But this time was different. This was the first time she was going home from work to a house with no dad, no Flo. It didn't feel right. Nothing would ever be the same.
Right. So, spoiler alert, because I know spoiler you guys alert. Aren't going to read this. Her dad and her little sister do die in the crowd crush that we previously mentioned. But up until that point, it's like the uncle and aunt die, and then like her friend's like fiance dies in the war, and there's a lot of death.
So also her lover in this is the airman, as you call him, which is really sexy, Ray. And Ray, you know, even though it's a time of war, he takes her to her first jazz club, which is so beautiful and cool, you know. And she's like, I've never been to a jazz club. And she puts on a little frock and they go there and it's the 40s and it's so man in uniform, like smoking and people being like, beat it up, up, up. Yet her hometown friend is in love with her and he's so jealous and always like watching her out the window being so like, I should have told her how I felt. And spoiler alert, basically when the crazy subway rush death happens, she blames Ray, her American lover.
It's one of those things in the fog of war, as we often talk about, you know, emotions run high and everyone's pointing fingers.
Yes.
And ultimately, the blame did lie with the government, with the Home Office for not approving repairs that the town council had actually requested and that she was full aware of in her job as the sort of assistant to the mayor.
She's being, though, very like detective girl, because I'm watching True Detective right now, when like every detective show, when someone realizes there's a file missing.
Mm. Yeah.
And she's always like, sorry, I was just in the evidence room. And where's the train inspection file from 1942 May? And they're like, it should be there. And she's like, but it's not.
And she's like, huh, okay. And they're just like, don't worry about it. Like, go home. Don't worry your pretty little head, like, girl. Like, you have to grieve. And, like, don't try and investigate things that you don't want to know the answer to.
I was say, she gives this really big apology to Ray, but it's a little, like, too much too late. I'm sorry. If my girlfriend blamed me for the Travis Scott concert.
Right. When like 9 people died.
Yeah. Astro World.
You wouldn't
World
be
or
so like, oh, no, it's okay. Like, I forgive you for blaming me for that. No, I did think that was a little bit too dramatic how she was just like, I'm not talking to her because like your piston fired on your car. And I think that may have spooked people. And it's like, even if that did spook people, the problem was with the design of the stairwell and like not having sufficient lighting, like the stairs being too steep and slippery. And like it was primed for an accident.
What we're calling the 19 steps.
But she has this very, you know, like we said about like the names Billy, and this actually gets into nominal determinism, which is a phrase I was learning recently on Twitter about like your name kind of determining like your personality. But I do feel
Definitely.
Like there's a little bit of that going on here with this Millie Bobby, like, you know, tomboy, but who's still just like feminine and cute and fragile, but also sassy and whip smart, is that like the girl character in this Nelly, like she first catches the American the love interest attention by like being a damsel in distress who does have moxie and gumption at the same time.
I love girls with moxie.
And it's like, you're so like having it both ways. So there's this scene where they put her younger sister on a bus to go to the country because her parents are like, oh, it's too dangerous with all the bombing raids. We should like send her off like to the countryside somewhere. But then the mom has a change of heart. She's like, wait, no, like I want me Flo here. And so Nelly decides to run after the bus and like stop it from going. She was almost alongside the bus, which had slowed in the traffic, her lungs burning with the effort, when she realized a delivery van was coming the other way, its driver paying more attention to the clipboard he was holding than to the road. There was nowhere for her to go. She was going to be caught between the bus and the van. She screamed in panic, expecting at any moment to feel the impact of the van hitting her. And then strong arms were around her. She was being held tight as the van rushed past so close she felt it drag at her coat, its horn blaring as the driver finally saw her. Crazy broad, the man holding her shouted. But all she could see was the bus now picking up speed as it drove away from her with the precious little sister on board. Stop that bus, she yelled, fighting free of the man's arms and once more taking up the chase. He ran too, faster than her. And so then, like, she saves her sister, and then the American goes, I reckon being evacuated in the country is safer. You should have let her go. There's too many bombs falling on London these days. You think I don't know that, Nelly snapped. You should mind your business. The arrogance of him trying to tell her what to do. And so she's being so like, I'm sassing back this American, but also he has strong arms and he saved me from a van. And then he also did run after a bus with me when I was saving my sister. And it's very like, okay, so you're a girl boss who's the assistant to the mayor, but you're also like a damsel in distress. And then later that night, it turns out she's a really good singer. And she like sings for the whole pub to a ragtime piano. And so just like, okay, so you were like this like beautifully fragile, like feminine artiste, Lana Del Rey, who's like captivating the entire pub. But you're also a sassy girl boss who's not taking shit from anybody.
No. And there's this line here where she's like warning him about like the coffee is going to taste like chicory.
The chicory like, coffee. Wait, I also heard that. Hold on.
Okay. They went to a nearby Lion's Corner house, busy with people who run inside to shelter from the sudden rain. Classic ducking in because of rain. Big trench coats, imagine it, London. The coffee will be chicory, you know, she warned him. Yeah, I kind of like it, though. I've gotten used to the nutty aroma and woody flavor. Oh, look, they got lemonade. That's what I'll have. And a scone.
He's Joe Pesci now.
He's like, gee willikers, I love lemonade. For a girl to just be like,
be careful, it's chicory.
Yeah, this coffee's kind of weird. It's a New Orleans style.
Yes, no, it is Hervey, like quirky, like, sorry, like I'm a quirky, fragile girl boss who's like so fucking quirked up. Like, we do it chicory style here. I know that's going to freak you the fuck out. Yeah.
Celebrity Book Club.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage.
Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell.
And when those outdoor outfits are scented, like Steven, we sell scented sweatshirts. So we put those on Shopify, and the Shopify customer service team helped us so much. And I would say we had questions at 3, 4 a.m. They were there.
For sure. And I think it's why they help turn browsers into buyers. Which is something I look at, but I'm a data nerd, so
totally.
You know, that's
and
just me.
Look, if you are like so confused by the data, let me just tell you this. Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. We love to hear that, right? Okay.
So if you want to manufacture true crime leggings in Guatemala and sell them in Indonesia, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bookclub, all lowercase today.
That's shopify.com/bookclub.
Shopify.com/bookclub.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my character, Gray Parrish, from my new series, Parrish.
Yeah, I can drive.
My character was a getaway driver. Yeah!
I'm retired from life, you know that.
His business is failing, his house is going up for sale. He is the everyman.
Tell me about this driver job.
We got a lot of action in this show. We have moments of real danger, and we want to feel as if anything could happen. Gray is invited to drive for this man. He's invited to make money, and he quickly realizes this is not the right thing to do.
I did what you told me to.
And he's in a world over his head.
Now, let's go!
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parish, all new, Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC+.
It's crazy that you said, I don't know, about World War II when both of my grandfathers served.
I guess my...
And you don't think I know about their service?
So, like...
You don't think I honor their service every
but you, so you know who, like, the Axis powers are?
Yeah.
And, like, the Allied powers?
I did learn about that in CSW.
I guess that's just something I kind of imagine that your high school didn't cover, because you guys were just only doing, like, the history of cereal and then, like, flower box making.
Did you learn about the Vietnam War? Was that only my more progressive... Were you guys afraid, actually, to learn about the Vietnam War?
No, obviously. They were so, like, we're not teaching about American losses. We're only learning about victories.
Yeah. Who is in the fucked up school now, okay? But no, I had never like heard of this like train accident.
Well, no, I mean, I didn't know about that either. But and this is the thing about things that make the government look bad is they all covered up for it. And it took a very long time in reality for this particular disaster to even come to light. Because as we discover in the book, the Home Office sort of lays the blame at the town council, at the Bethnal Green Town Council.
At the Bethnal Green Town Hall.
Even though they had requested money for repairs.
And Nellie was doing, our office girl, she was doing that paperwork. And it's so like, have you looked at my submission for the subway repairs? Have you looked at my submission?
Well, you know, and it made me think about Grenfell Tower, that like tower block that like burned down a few years ago in London. And it was like, such a thing where it's like, guess who lived there? Like, poor people. And then it was like,
classic,
you know, in Noailles, and this like, there's a district in Marseille where a few years ago there was a building collapse. Many people died. Also very poor, crowded neighborhood. Made me think of that building on Second Avenue that exploded when like a Con Ed line burst.
Yeah. And everyone was like, check your gas. And it's kind of like,
And like, remember there was just a huge hole on that block for like years. And then they finally built like new condos over it. Now there's like a little plaque there where you walk by and it's just like, these two people died. And I'm like, I wonder if the people living there, do they even know how haunted it is?
Yeah, I would not move into a rebuilt condo.
But I'm sure they didn't tell them that when they moved. Some girl from fucking Indiana moves here. She doesn't know.
No, and she's starting a jewelry business, a jewelry empire, if you will, with a gay guy.
But then it's like, and then you don't know what haunted things happen in your building.
Well, I do know that a guy below me did get like murdered a few years ago. So, It's really sad. It was a gang thing.
Where oh my it was God. Like in the building?
Yeah, they were like going for another guy, but the dad opened the door and they shot the dad. So, but when we moved, we were like, wait, the rent is so cheap. Like, what's the catch? And the apartment's so big.
Wait, and it was like the apartment like below yours?
Yeah, it was like on the floor below.
Okay, maybe not directly below. So the ghost isn't like right there.
It was like second or third floor. Yeah. It's just.
Okay.
The ghosts so... are close. And I only learned that like I would feel like a year after moving in or so. Because our real estate agent does like live on the floor or whatever. The woman who showed us the apartment like lives on my floor.
And she finally revealed to you?
Well, revealed in, this is very Nelly, and things getting hidden in the town hall, because there was all these complaints about mail being stolen, and
she was like, oh, it's surely the ghost.
Well, she was being like, well, the reason why, like, no one wants to, like, really investigate is because it's, like, there's a gang affiliation or something, and... I don't know. No one wants to kind of push buttons.
Right, because they don't want to get murdered.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm going to get to the bottom of this and I will get justice for my neighbor.
ACAB also.
I will get restorative mediation for...
I would get mediation for folks in my building.
Okay, yeah. Huh. Maybe I actually don't want to know if someone was murdered in my building. When I moved in, there were rabbit droppings under my radiator in my bedroom. So I'm drop. Just like,
how did you know that? Because they were like more pellet-esque.
Yeah, they were pellet vibes.
Not rabbit. That I feel like is some just Bushwick girl having a rabbit.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So I'm haunted by this like quirked up Ridgewood girl who thinks yes. she's so esoteric for having a fucking rabbit.
You're haunted by Nelly with a rabbit.
I mean, it kind of is a little bit Nelly / Millie to have a rabbit.
I mean, Millie having four tiny ass dogs, I guess that's also so celebrity.
Yeah. And so Paris Hilton.
I want to get into us watching Stranger Things for the first time ever.
Okay,
last night.
In doing research for this role of reading a novel by Millie Bobby Brown,
yeah,
I decided to sort of flesh out my understanding of her and her oeuvre by watching this show that I have resisted watching for years because, as you know, I'm a contrarian. I don't like watching things that are popular. And Stranger Things always reek to me of the worst kind of thing because I'm like, it's retro. Everyone loves how, like, retro it is. And it's just so, like, Xena lunchbox culture.
And I resisted watching it, not because I'm a contrarian and I do love the 80s and I do love Winona Ryder, but like...
And you are so Xena Lunchbox.
And I am Xena Lunchbox, but I don't like things not of this world.
Yes.
AKA Stranger Things.
Fantasy so makes you very resistance. Uncomfortable. Yes.
And I think like years ago, I may have watched the first episode with all the hubbub surrounding it. And I was like, let me check it out. And I was kind of like, there was like, you know, creatures. I was a little bit like, not for me. But I fired up episodes one and two. And I got to say, I was kind of into it.
Wait, same here. And I was like,
okay,
so it's very Spielbergian, if I may.
Yeah, it's 80s. It's Spielberg. It's also Winona Ryder's like level that she's at in the entire series is the level she's at when she's managing Garofalo in Reality Bites. Like, she's fucking always freaking out. And
she's at an 11 of...
just being like...
of jittery.
Where's my son?
There's a lot of cigarette acting.
Because it's like, it's the 80s. We all smoke.
And you're kind of like, well, it's so not the like, 50s. But I guess it's like Indiana and it's people are more smoky there.
Yeah, they are. And I remember hearing so much about the character Barb. And people are like, justice for Barb. So Barb... everyone is just like, yeah, we've seen Stranger Things.
Oh, wait. Okay. Oh, like the lesbian friend.
Yeah. And she gets taken by the Stranger Thing. But more, I was like, wait, so what is Millie Bobby Brown's deal in? Her thing in this is being so cult, shaved head.
She's like this non-binary 9-year-old, like femme, sexy model. It's like she is also being so like, oops, I scraped my knee, but I am fragile, but I am. She's like a girl boss, like telekinesis, like government monster.
Feeling my name is 11, like I'm eating a burger really fast, but also like winking and hanging out with three guys.
No, I mean, she literally is being like, sorry, I'm weird. You probably won't get chicory coffee. And it's kind of like, I don't know, you're thin and in a big t-shirt. It's actually not that weird.
11-year-old Millie Bobby Brown or whatever. She's probably 14 in the first season. It's like, she looks so barista.
No, I mean, she is that meme when the non-binary barista turns the iPad around for you to tip and they're just giving you that.
You're like,
And you're like, oh, am I tipping 216 on this latte?
657 and now it's a 928. And then they're just being like, join our loyalty club for 1-5% cash back.
Okay, wait, can I tell you my story? So I watched Stranger Things, not on Netflix, on Say It With Me, DVD.
DVD? Because so random.
I somehow got like logged out of Netflix because Netflix is being so like, looks like you're not in your household. I thought household was like a metaphor for being like.
They changed that. And it's like, actually, you have to ask your mommy to like pay more now.
Which is so insane. It's like, hello, Ohana means family. Like, I should be allowed to just use my mom's account, like in my Ridgewood apartment. Like, we actually can't afford to live together. Like, how about that, Netflix?
You're like, I'm trying to get a two-bedroom for my mom, but we actually can't afford it right now.
So I go to my local Queens Library branch, which as viewers of this pod will know, I'm obsessed with.
After I tipped you off also that libraries not only have books,
they literally
but
DVDs.
They have DVDs.
So I ask the like circulation desk girl, I'm like, I'm looking for this series. It's called Stranger Things. Online it said you had it. She's like, oh, let me take you to the series section. So she takes me and she pulls out like season one and season two on DVD. And she's just like, so I have this. I also have this. I don't know which one you might be interested in.
How many you want?
And I was like, oh, well, I'm researching this actress, so I need to make sure that she's in it. So, and then I kind of implied to her that I need my privacy to like look up her on Wikipedia. And so she kind of left me with the DVD file so I could sift through. So I did rent season one. I was like, we'll just start at the
beginning. Okay, cool. Started with the OG. I know, I was like, should I start with season two just to be like weird and get a taste of older Millie?
Yeah, but I think it's good we watch the same thing. And I liked her sort of ingenue acting. But it's like, you can almost tell in the show that she's already being like, I'm going to pretend to write a novel and hopefully sell it and star in my own show. Like, she's trying to be the breakout star from the beginning in this way where she's like, I am a thin, shivering British ingenue.
Right, because she's like shivering and has her big eyes. One crazy thing that I learned from my GF while watching it is not only did she get slid into the DMs of by Drake when she was underage, but Doja Cat slid into the DMs of one of the young boys.
Okay, go
when they
off.
Were underage.
When they were like seven, and she's being the gay from Cheer.
Yeah, she's the literious. She was like 21, and maybe one of them were like 17 or something.
Oh, well, that's.
But there was some, I mean, I don't care personally, but I think there was some online controversy.
Well, no stranger to controversy. Doja Cat is joining us today to talk about her new EP.
Basically, this show. Kids are in the past and it made them hot, I guess, because they're fighting Stranger Things. And yeah, watching her be an ingenue, I was like, it does make her be kind of Jenny, because you're like, I'm sure you were like kind of sitting down on a laptop to like write 19 steps.
Or she imagined herself like sitting down to Zooms one day. I think also, like, I don't know if we said this already, but like, I think she definitely tried to sell this as a TV show when she sold the rights to the book. And it didn't.
Well, a lot of deals now happen as a twofer.
I feel like it was maybe like sold as like a possible twofer, like with an option to twofer. But like no one's picking up the option because the book wasn't flying off the shelves.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to imagine this as a show. And like I can for sure as like maybe 6 episodes on Netflix that I'm not watching.
I think it's 8 episodes.
Okay.
And I think it would sell. And I think like you actually would watch it.
I think you would watch.
Okay, but aren't you so like accidentally being like, oops, I watched 2 seasons of Call the Midwife?
No. Like, London to me is too bowler, I'll say it, and not fedora enough.
Oh, okay. It's the roundness of the hat that makes you uncomfortable.
Yes.
It evokes your mother's breast. A memory you've tried to dislodge over the years.
Trying to stop.
Yeah, see, I love, I guess, rainy London.
Right, you love London.
I love the crampedness of the streets, but certainly not the subways.
What do you think of, her hot American boyfriend, Ray, who drinks lemonade and not chicory coffee, does end up passing away in the war?
Or so we think. And so, like, his plane gets shot down, and then she's really sad, and then she, like, does get together with, this felt very Hunger Games to me. How she kind of gets with PETA. I know that's fantasy and out of your, like, again, out of your real house. But, like, she's like, you know what? I'll just go with the, like, local nice guy who is sweet.
Who's been watching me through a window.
And he proposes to her on, like, Victory Day. You know what's interesting about this book? It's very chaste. So there's no sex scenes. It's just her, like, kissing. And maybe that was, like, the 40s. But I also wonder if Millie Bobby has a chasteness to her sexuality because she's eternally 11.
Well, we've broken down the pink and white fence. Like, I feel like we've had the series where it's like people actually were fucking in the 50s.
Right.
But she's trying to do that thing that I think we all pretend our grandmas, like, don't fuck.
Maybe, right, because it is as told by her nan or whatever. And so she's like, I don't want to picture my grandma having sex. And she's also like, and I want young girls everywhere of age 9 to read this book and like not
exactly.
Get horny.
So she's making it more like Ray embraced me and gave me a peck on the cheek. Wow, I felt marvelous with him.
Yeah, the word passionate appears once to describe her relationship with Ray, but for most of the book, it's just arm around her. There's like closed mouth kissing. It's always like he pressed his lips against mine. There is no, his tongue explored.
Well, and I used to think from watching old films all the time as a child that people only closed mouth kissed in the past. I thought French kissing was invented.
In the 80s.
Later on. Like, you know, the famous kiss in From Here to Eternity, which is a film about World War II starring Frank Sinatra. There's a famous kiss where he's on the beach with a woman and they're like are basically having sex on the beach, but it's only a closed mouth kiss.
Yeah, but people also had this way of holding each other, and like, you know how like the men are always like grabbing a woman in the in like a 40s film, but it's very like stiff and like everyone moves in this stiff way. They're like,
And they're like hard kiss, no tongue for 5 seconds. That other side.
They look like they're too, like, if you were playing with your dolls and you, like, mashed them together. Like, that's how people were kissing in movies back then.
Before intimacy coordinators.
Before intimacy coordinators, like, came on the scene and helped us all do better.
So I do wonder, like, my grandmother was engaged to another man before my grandfather.
And you're like, did they do anal?
Yeah, I'm like, did they even F? And she says the reason why it ended is because he wanted her to cook his mother's style of cooking.
As all men do.
She was like, that was mommy. Yeah, and she was like, I'm going to cook my mother's style of cooking.
Well, you know what's interesting? There's a scene at the end in this book where she's sort of resigning herself to marry Billy, the neighbor, the long-suffering best friend who like has always had a crush on her, but who has asthma also.
She's like, well, he's nice.
And she's just being like, oh, this fucking faggot with asthma is like in love with me. But she's actually in love with her big, strong American man who she thinks was gunned down. So she says this thing about ironing Billy's shirts while he toiled in the garden or painted walls or simply sat with the newspaper was one she would have relished, a quiet, comfortable domestic scene. But now she knew that whenever she was doing something for Billy, she'd be imagining doing it for Ray. Now she knew he was alive, and she'd forever wonder how different her life could have been. Because Ray comes back and was like, oh, I was shot down. I was in a POW camp. So it's like in this moment, she's kind of like, it would have been like fine domestic, but like I would have rather ironed shirts for my hot American top.
Right, because it's like if she was ironing Ray's like American Army greens, it would be so much more like,
so
I'm starching your trousers, Ray. And Billy's just being like, hello, like, would you mind starching my trousers from Marks and Spencer that I got?
And she's just like, you bucktooth asthmatic Nelly, get out of here. I have work to do. I work for the mayor.
At Town Hall. A lovely hotel, by the way. Yeah, and then the end of the book is very like A League of Their Own, the original film. When it's just like 1993 and like Nelly is old and she's like meeting up with Babs.
Her best friend.
And they're all like reminiscing about the 40s.
Yeah, and they're like, doesn't it suck Ray died of cancer? You're kind of like, random.
Yeah, just, you're like, I don't know. Right, it's the reveal where she's like, Ray and I had a beautiful life. The cancer took him. And you're like, I don't know if I'm, the emotions aren't.
No, I mean, I think this book was A, very predictable, I'll say it. Be like, you know, thinly drawn characters, extremely just like been there, done that, seen it, well trodden territory of like not just a World War II story, but like any real rom-com. You know, we've seen it a million times before.
Yeah, I guess the thing is like, I'm so down, right, for a predictable romance. Just give me something more. Like, I just never found myself wanting to turn the page. Really at all.
I do like that she chose to highlight, you know, a working class tragedy that has been unsung throughout history.
Thank you.
Has all of these kind of contemporary allusions to other tragedies that have happened that continue to affect like poor folks today that go underserved by their government and unnoticed, and ultimately how
Aaron
that can
Brockovich
have, like,
vibes.
Serious health ramifications. Absolutely. I like the Aaron Brockovich aspect to it. And I like that Millie Bobby Brown had the moxie and the gumption to be like, I want to play my grandma, but sexier in a Netflix limited part series. So I'm going to write a novel and like, hopefully that creates some runway for it. And like, even if it didn't, I do admire that gumption.
Yes. No, that's huge of her to not just be like, oh, I'm going to take some meetings and just like try to sell the series. She's like cosplaying as just novelist.
Yes.
So we're all tricked into just being like, wait. Sorry, Millie Bobby Brown, child actress, now adult, engaged to John Bon Jovi's son.
Which
is insane.
So
also, I read that John Bon Jovi did not perform at their wedding because Millie Bobby Brown was like, he actually needs the night off. And people are always like, oh, you think if you're just related to John Bon Jovi, you get a free performance.
I agree where it's like, if you have a celebrity at your wedding, like, it's a little rude to ask them to, like, be a celebrity.
At the wedding, right.
Unless it's, like, you're inviting Jemima Kirk and you're just expecting her to, like, be drunk and have fun.
Be
and
British.
Then it's like,
yes.
Absolutely, she can do that, but don't expect her to put on a show. Celebrity Book Club.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my character, Gray Parrish, from my new series, Parrish.
Yeah, I can drive.
My character was a getaway driver.
Yeah!
I'm retired from life, you know that.
His business is failing, his house is going up for sale. He is the everyman.
Tell me about this driver job.
We got a lot of action in this show. We have moments of real danger, and we want to feel as if anything could happen. Gray is invited to drive for this man. He's invited to make money, and he quickly realizes this is not the right thing to do.
I did what you told me to.
And he's in a world over his head.
Now, let's go!
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC+.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Millie Bobby segments.
What does she eat?
What does she wear? How does she live?
She live. Okay. What does she eat? Like
matcha,
I mean, she's
matcha,
thin,
matcha.
But she's like British. Like it's like cuppa.
She's definitely a cuppa, and she's more like I'm not like other.
Again,
like is she more of
girl?
A guy's girl? So she's whole milk. The thing is, to me though, like her tomboyishness is not so guy's girl
it's
in
more
that
scrapes,
way.
Grapes, less steak.
Period. So to me, that's oat milk.
I'm almost like it's just like tea, lemon, no milk.
But don't you think she's like oat latte and just like a sponsored?
Maybe it's
a
macadamia like, milk.
There we go.
Macadamia milk. Millie
macadamias.
Bobby macadamia.
But yeah, so she's like, give me a full English. And then she's kind of like.
Give me full English and extra macadamia nuts on the side.
And then she's kind of picking at her phone. English. Yeah, so she likes British food. Like, she's very lords. Like, she likes a upscale curried scotch egg.
Right, that she's having a tiny bite of.
But I don't think that she's, like, having her full English breakfast with all the mushrooms and tomatoes. Like,
no, I don't think.
Because, again, she scrapes, not steaks. Like, this is, like, one of the most genius things you've ever said.
Scrapes, not steaks. Like, also, we need to stop being so, like, nationalist. Like, if we were British and we were talking about, like, an American actress, would we be like, oh, she gets the full Hungry Man breakfast of, like, two pancakes and bacon?
No, you're right. Eggs. And, like, let's actually stop trying to stereotype people based on their nation.
But, like, she is more lords and probably is like getting like a chicory fennel salad.
I feel like she always ate earlier. Like when you ask, like, oh, I ate earlier.
Thin girl stuff. I ate earlier.
She ate earlier.
And then I think like on set, because she's also been acting since she was 11. So she's grown up on craft services also.
Crafty girl.
And it's like wraps and just kind of like granola yogurt.
She knows how to keep her hunger down.
But when she goes out, yeah, it's like picking at things.
What did you think of her acting in the scene in the series premiere of Stranger Things where she's in the like back of the diner and it's like that classic thing where they're like, she's so hungry because she's been trapped in like a government facility her whole life. So she starts ravenously eating fries. I felt a little bit like the way she was eating the fries was actually too familiar with fries. And she was afraid to be, like, grosser. And this is actually why she's, like, is so macadamia milk. Because she wasn't being, like, so nasty about it. And they're being, like, she didn't know what the word for friend is, but she knew to pick up a single fry, like, between her thumb and forefinger and put it in her mouth. It's like, I don't think that's intuitive behavior. It's just, like...
And, like, burger.
Yeah.
Right, because I was like, well, is she alien or is she just, like, kidnapped Stranger Things girl? But then I guess like aliens also maybe if they were hungry would be like meh, 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 meh.
Yeah.
McDonald's.
Okay, so you do have a little yen for fantasy. Maybe you need to watch it, Willie. That was such an adorable little noise.
Yeah, maybe I do. I mean, I think it'd be really fun to act in fantasy. I'll say that.
Oh, for sure. Cast us, please. Okay, what does she wear? So I did cheat a little. I was looking at her Instagram and like she's promoting like the most like LA athleisure wear collab that she's like with the fakest company. And I feel like she's so like basically just like took her Stranger Things fame and was like, I'm going to launch 1,000 things and be so like Stanley Cup and bag and perfume and like backpack and hoodie. And
she's like, I'm going to launch 1,000 not strange things.
Yeah, like normal things. My line.
Yeah, I feel like now she's gotten more norm and like, I do picture her just like with Jon Bon Jovi's son and they're just kind of in matching LA sweatsuits.
Which is weird because I'm kind of like, if you want to be so scrapes, not steaks, then why aren't you being more like Tilda Swinton and being like, I'm weird.
Gown.
I'm going to be like, A, an icon on the red carpet. Like, I'm going to wear like the most architectural pointy things. I'm going to like Hunter Schafer eat your heart out. Like, I am going to always...
I guess she's also being so Nelly and trad getting married at 22.
Yeah, it's just like, it's actually not 1941. You don't have to get married.
But maybe that's because trad is in and also she's like, well, I've been working since I was 11, so I feel like I'm 45.
Yeah, it twisted her into an early adulthood. So she wants kids.
Now and like launching cups and sweats. Were the sweatshirts like... They have like little phrases on them.
I feel like if it did have a little phrase, it wasn't a sassy phrase. It was a phrase that just said like the name of the brand or something.
Alkaline.
Like, or it just says like 2011, like whatever her birth year is. And you're just like, yeah. I think she's also maybe struggling with the like transatlantic identity of being like, am I a British star or am I an American star?
Right, because she's so like American coded and it's like Stranger Things. Like you're always seeing like Quicksilver X Stranger Things, McDonald's X Stranger Things, like Vans Stranger Things.
Whereas like a Florence Pugh is like being more like, I'm British and I'm alt and I'm like fucking America up with my nose ring. And you're like, yeah,
definitely.
You're crazy.
And marrying again. Say it with me, Jon Bon Jovi's son is so American because he's such like an American treasure.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, this book is her trying to like reconnect with her British past after maybe losing
beautiful.
It by becoming an American celebrity.
And like, it makes you want to reconnect with your non-British past and like, we all need to do it.
I know. I was actually trying to think when we read this book, I was like, I feel like I don't even know like what my ancestors were actually doing.
Wait, did your grandfather serve?
My grandfather. Well, you know, he was a pilot. He was like a...
He was an airman.
And he was like a stunt pilot for movies like in the 30s. Maybe he did have to serve, but in a way where he like wasn't over there.
Right, where he was just kind of like stunting over here.
Or like testing planes over here. I just feel like he wasn't gone. But I wasn't there, so I don't know if he was gone.
You were not the site of war. So, yeah, we're connected with our roots. How does she live? I think it's just so the hugest couch you've ever seen your entire life. And she's being so tiny on it with her tiny four dogs.
Yeah, I think it's honestly just so boring.
And
it's
think,
so boring, like call your daddy's studio, basically.
And I wish that she was finding a way to connect with her British history more, and it could be more maximalist and like such an overstuffed library with like a ladder and just like jewel tone sofa. And like maybe there's a jewel tone sofa, but it's not like, it should be like such like dark, ratty, huge, nasty sofas and like
that, like your hippie grandmother from like Carnaby Street was on.
Yeah, and like, you know, like ashtrays, like pedestal ashtrays where you press down the little top and it like spins around and opens up.
Oh, that's really fun. I mean, I guess also the reason why she has to connect, because like, as this book says, is that Nelly ultimately did move to the States. So
yeah. They left it all behind. And the war was traumatizing, and I get that. And, like, if you were in London during the Blitz, like, that would have been really fucked up. But her house is straight up boring, and it has, like, those, like, light laminate
and, like,
flooring.
And, yes, she has a green velvet couch, maybe. That's massive.
Yeah. But it's still, like, recessed lighting to the boots and, like...
And just, like, island, and she's hardly there, and, like, she's walking, and there's, like, assistants, and there's, like... Yeah, I don't think there's anything special. Is there this office of, like... family pictures like where she wrote this book?
No, I think she had the Zoom meetings with like Katie McGurl, like just on the big couch. And, like, there aren't even frame photos.
No photos.
Literally. Millie, no photos, Bobby Brown. Okay, who are you in the book?
Oh, who are you in the book?
I guess I identify with her being the assistant to the mayor as someone who has worked in politics, but I also identified with someone who has been to town hall in Bethnal Green.
Right. I think, like, you are Nelly.
But I guess I also identify with Billy as being, like, the sad asthmatic friend. Because he did have asthma as a child.
But you overcame it.
Yes, but I'm traumatized by it.
No, I mean, absolutely. My and, like, your children will have that trauma. And, like, I identify definitely with, like, Ray being American and taking her to a jazz club.
Okay, when she was like, I don't like jazz that much, though.
That's so nice.
And, like, I also felt like this relationship between her and Ray was very, like, what do straight people talk about, which maybe is accurate.
It's just about the passion. It's like their bodies are speaking, even though in a chaste, virginal way.
Right, and, like, they'd be, like, riding a bike, and then he, like, stops the bike, and she's like, she was giggling so much that he'd, like, turn the handlebars weirdly or something, and they just couldn't stop laughing. And you're just like, what are you even talking about? And then they go to this jazz concert, and they're not talking the whole time, and then she's just like, I don't want to admit it, but, like, I'm not sure this music is for me. And he's like, I could tell, you crazy British tomboy. Take you back to your favorite pub.
Oh, you're just a pub girl.
So, like, you are, because, like, you like jazz and you are American.
And I'm, like, forcing, like, someone to come to a jazz club with me.
Okay, so. Fair enough.
We haven't even mentioned that she has chickens in this book. And she's always like, where's my chickens?
Oh, yeah, the brother keeps chickens in the backyard. And the Yankee is just like, well, darn, I never thought I'd see a British person keeping chickens in the big city. I'm just from a farm in Michigan. And she's like, where is that? Is that near Chicago?
He's lived all across our great land. He's like New York, Michigan, Southern. I give this book, again, I think you're right. Like, I'm the gumption for Millie Bobby Brown to, like, seek out a ghostwriter to write a book about her grandmother surviving, like, a trample in London during World War II is cool. But I give it a 1.9. I just, like, kind of was like, what?
I give it a full 2. Asphyxiated corpses in the Bethnal tube station out of 5, because mostly for the moxie of her deciding to write a novel and, like, being this random girl who's famous for one show that's married to John Bon Jovi's son, and, like, telling the story of government neglect.
It's also cool to respect your elders.
Yes. And I like that she's, like, weaving back and forth. I mean, there's something very, like, Joanne about it too, the Lady Gaga album, where you're like, I'm gonna use a relative's, like, past and, like, tragedy that I'm not even that close to.
And, like, make it my whole
make
thing.
It my whole identity for, like, a press cycle. And you're like, okay, go off. And I feel like that would be me now, like, making, like, a limited series
stunt
of
stunt pilot
about stunt pilots in the 20s. Wait, I have to make that. Wait, and that would be, I mean, it is such an Amazon series. And it's called, like, Flyboys. And
yeah,
it's
that's
just
so,
like,
big goggles.
They were the pirates of the sky.
And I think in that show, they actually would show fucking.
Yes, they would. And there would be, like, so many cigarettes.
40s fucking.
Yeah.
Okay.
okay. I'm going to call Katie McGurl and get cracking on that script.
Yeah, and just say, like, you know, grats to Katie for pulling this out of her ass also.
Yeah. Go off, McGurl. You Mick wrote this.
See you Millie, at the airport.
I will be continuing to watch this DVD of Stranger Things.
Yeah, I think I'm going to catch a few more eps too. I feel like I do actually like want to know. And it's enough, I think, retroness and like, you know, sex and dating and family for me to keep in.
Okay, you know what's funny about this show? So years ago when this first came out, friend of the pod, Jacqueline Novak, was like, Steven, you look so much like this actress on the show, this character. And I was like, what? And mm-hmm. then when I was watching it, I was like, wait, she like is me in this weird way.
With the main girl?
No, the like slutty girl who's like not a slut, but like whose friend is the lesbian who like sleeps with the like her. Popular guy.
Who's like with Steve. And she's always like, Steve Harrington, you're an idiot.
Yeah. And she's still like, I have to study. Stop trying to hook up with me. Which A is so me. But there's something about her face that like it's in the like brows and the eyes and like the face shape generally that just is weirdly me. And if you're watching it, you'll be like, wait.
Okay. When I watch this again on my blizzard night, I'll kind of.
Yeah, when you close up. Anyway, Millie, congrats on your first novel.
Literally congrats. Like I haven't written a novel or Same. Hired a ghostwriter. So yeah, this has been fun. And I learned. A little.
I learned a little.
Okay. Best historians.
This podcast was produced by Minan Darby Masters. May she rest in peace.
The supervising producer is Abu Zafar.
It was also executive produced by Christina Everett.
The blotty kicking music, the theme song to our podcast is done by Stephen Phillips Horst. Carnaby Street's best.
The graphic design was done by a lovely little chippy shop in East London called Chips New York, ironically.
We originally co-created this podcast in Parliament with Prologue Projects.
I love how your accent's sort of changing throughout, and so is mine. We're just like, we're just little damsels
like
in distress.
Cockney, but like professional, but like NPR, but like punk.
You want to hear more of us? Go over patreon.com/cbcthepod. And there'll be little prizes there, little things for you, extra episodes and whatnot. It's super fun. £5 a month. Just £5.
And, like, we have a fit when you review us on iTunes. I know it's weird.
We get
like,
well chuffed.
But we're texting each other on WhatsApp at midnight.
Yeah.
Be like, you see the new review?
Mate, new review just dropped. It just really tickles our bums.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, mate. You know there's going to be one next week.
Love you.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So Toyota is electrified, diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.